We are in the Gospel of Mark again this week. We were there last week, and we take up another story of Jesus and his ministry. This is Mark. It's in chapter 6. Begins in the 14th verse, and we'll read through 29. So it's Mark 6, 14 through 29. Now King Herod heard about all this because Jesus' reputation had spread everywhere. Some people were saying John the Baptist has come back to life. That is why he has this power to perform miracles. Others, however, said he is Elijah. Others said he is a prophet like one of the prophets of long ago. When Herod heard it, he said, "He is John the Baptist. I had his head cut off, but he has come back to life." Herod himself had ordered John's arrest, and he had him tied up and put in prison. Herod did this because of Herodias, whom he had married, even though she was the wife of his brother Philip. John the Baptist kept telling Herod, "It isn't right for you to marry your brother's wife." So Herodias held a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she could not because of Herod. Herod was afraid of John because he knew that John was a good and holy man. And so he kept him safe. He liked to listen to him, even though he became greatly disturbed every time he heard him. Finally, Herodias got her chance. It was on Herod's birthday when he gave a feast for all the top government officials, the military chiefs, and the leading citizens of Galilee. The daughter of Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and his guests. So the king said to the girl, "What would you like to have? I will give you anything, anything you want." With many vows, he said to her, "I swear that I will give you anything you ask for, even as much as half my kingdom." So the girl went out and asked her mother, "What shall I ask for?" "The head of John the Baptist," she answered. The girl hurried back at once to the king and demanded, "I want you to give me here and now the head of John the Baptist on a plate." This made the king very sad, but he could not refuse her because of the vows he had made in front of all of his guests. So he sent off a guard at once with orders to bring John's head. The guard left, went to the prison, and cut John's head off. Then he brought it on a plate and gave it to the girl, who gave it to her mother. When John's disciples heard about this, they came and got his body and buried it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Lord, what privilege I have as a minister of the gospel. Would you speak to these your children today? Bring out of this story things that would be important in their lives and in mine. And may we go forth after the message and after worship today, strengthened by having been in your presence. In the name of your Son, Jesus, I pray. Amen. A few weeks ago, my friend Danny from Iowa, he's a pastor, he and I roomed together when we were in school. He called me up. He had a month sabbatical. And he called me up and essentially he says, "I'm sort of getting bored. Can I come up and see you?" "Oh, yes. Come on up." And so we did. We went up to Green Bay one day. We were going to go to the hockey game up there, and we got there early, and after Danny spent a bunch of money in the pro shop at the... See, he's a real Packers fan, let me tell you. His wife gave him a whole Packers room with the big TV and everything else for his last birthday. So he's outfitting the room. But at any rate, we were there early, and we said, well, what are we going to do now? Because the hockey game doesn't start till later. And he said, well, is there a Christian bookstore nearby? Oh, yeah. It's just down the street. And then I couldn't find it. But thank you, Google. Google Maps. And we got in the store, and we're roaming around. Oh, going to Christian bookstores is so much fun. And then Danny came and got me. And he said, here, come on, you got to see this. So he takes me over by this rack of shirts. And he hauls out this one that's a bright orange color. And on the front of it, it says this. Live your life so the pastor doesn't have to lie at your funeral. Did you hear that? Live your life so the pastor doesn't have to lie at your funeral. I know about that shirt because I have one of my own. It was a gift from my wife a number of years ago. But, you know, John the Baptist, he lived that kind of a life that was dedicated to God. And so there was, if there would have been a funeral and whatever pastor would have done it, he could just tell the story of John's life. He wouldn't have to say anything else. As we read this morning, we need to understand that this is a flashback. Mark is recording this story. John's death has already occurred. Jesus had just sent his disciples off on a short-term mission journey. And they would come back and share that they had had great success in that. And so in the recording of the story of Jesus from Mark, he takes a moment here and he includes how John the Baptist died. You see, Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins, but they were also partners in ministry. Oh yes, they didn't kind of get together and do things together, but just the same, they knew of each other. One of the issues for this Herod that we've talked about this morning was the fact that Jesus was beginning to become very successful in his teaching, in his preaching. And folks were beginning to wonder, well, who is he? See, he wasn't quite ready to let him in on the fact that he was Messiah just yet. But who is he? And so maybe he's another prophet like they had in the Old Testament times. Or maybe he's Elijah returned. The Old Testament prophet Elijah. See, if you knew your Bible in those days, you knew about Elijah. You knew that he was a man who never died. He lived and then he went to heaven. It's a beautiful story. It's amazing. There's a fiery chariot involved. It's in 2 Kings 2. And then they thought, well, wait a minute. You know, the prophet Malachi, he had said this. This is Malachi 4:5. See, I will send the prophet of Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. What if Jesus is the prophet Elijah that has now returned? But you know, they should have realized that it was John the Baptist that was Elijah. Jesus explains that to his disciples, that John the Baptist was the fulfillment of Malachi's prophecy. Malachi, another Old Testament prophet, says this, and Mark recorded it. But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished. just as it is written about him. Now, King Herod, he was convinced this was John the Baptist come back to life, because John's death haunted Herod. It haunted him. It was his own guilt that bothered him so much, because he was the one that had had John beheaded. And so let's talk about Herod for a moment. He became the tetrarch of that area. There were four of these rulers in Palestine, and he became ruler of his part in 4 B.C. He's also known as Herod Antipas. His father, Herod the Great, you remember him? Herod the Great was the one that sent the order to go find all of the babies in Bethlehem, the male babies, and killed them, because I'm not going to allow another king to be in my country. The whole history of the Herod family is filled with lies and murder and treachery and adultery. You know, they were just plain evil people. And so Herod is now haunted by his own conscience that he's guilty of the murder of John the Baptist, and he's got this incredibly heavy burden, and what is he going to do with it? So there's a few lessons that we can learn in this whole story, in this scripture today. And one of them is how much trouble you get into when you don't deal with the sin in your life on a regular basis. We're all sinners. Well, then let's do something about it. Sometimes you see one sin will lead to another, and then that'll lead to another one yet, and then another one past that. So why was John treated so harshly? You see, Herod had to put him away, John, I mean, because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. And so now it's the start of the soap opera. Let me explain, because this gets confusing. And along the way, we can learn a lesson in Old Testament law. Philip, you may want to take notes. Philip was Herod's half-brother and another tetrarch, another one of Palestine's 4 rulers. Herodias was the daughter of Aristobulus. That's another half-brother. And so thus, Herodias is a half-niece to Philip and Herod, and they in turn are half her uncle. Herodias marries her half-uncle Philip and then divorces him to marry another half-uncle Herod. And Herod, in the meantime, has divorced his wife. And so thus, in marrying, Herodias and Herod have committed adultery as well as a type of incest, both of which are not permitted in the Jewish law. And John the Baptist, he called him out on it. He called them out loudly in public. He condemned Herod and Herodias for living immorally. But that's not such a good thing if who you're calling out for their sin is the leader of that part of the world. And is a tyrannical person, is evil, has the Roman power to put you in jail and execute you. But you know what? John didn't care. Morals were morals. And so he called out Herod. We live in a world today of moral compromise. We have all read the scriptures, the Bible, and we know what God wants us to do in living the way he wants us to live. And yet, our society often makes moral decisions based on a majority vote. But for you and for me, we know as Christians that our standards begin with God's Word. To be faithful to God's Word, we must stand up against what is morally wrong in the world of our day. Now be careful. You're going to want to choose the battles in which you enter, because the idea that if you just are morally right and you fight the battle, you win every time, that's only true in comic books. Choose your battles wisely, but my friends, choose them. And the way to choose them is you need to start with prayer. Prayer for wisdom, and then prayers for courage. And when you know this is a battle that God would have you involved in, then you must speak out against the morally wrong things in our world. You must speak out because you're a faithful follower of the living God. You can witness with strength. You can move mountains by your faith. You can overcome everything in love. We need to show a compromised world a little bit of John's stubbornness and his determination. Charles Colson puts it this way: be radical. Dare to be different. Dare to be Christian, go to the world, accept Jesus Christ, and live for him. I dare you to do it. As much as John the Baptist had ticked off King Herod, he had made a real enemy in Herodias. She wanted him dead. The only thing that was keeping him alive was the fact that Herod knew that John was a righteous, holy man, and that intimidated him. Remember the guilt that he was carrying around? So he had John thrown in jail where Herodias couldn't touch him. Smart plan. Sly fox, maybe. Herodias let her pride and anger turn to hatred, bitterness, and murder. She let a desire master her life and keep her far from God. And so you and I can learn something from Herodias. We can learn what can happen to us if we allow a sin or a wrong desire to go unconfessed, unrepented. Then our hearts will become hard just like hers was. And then, you know what that is going to lead you to is even more sin. We must always, always allow God's conviction to enter our hearts and our minds. Conviction, my friends, might cause you momentary discomfort, but the alternative will cause you to suffer much more. So in the story today, we read in the scripture that Herod throws a party for his birthday, and the party gets totally out of hand. John Calvin gives us some wisdom about that. He said this: not that it is wrong in itself to give a good party, but such is the propensity of the human mind to wantonness that when the reins are loosed, people easily go astray. The scripture doesn't say anything particular about this, But I'm guessing this wasn't Herod's first time throwing a party. I'm willing to believe that he had way too much to drink at the party. Another lesson for you and for me, for this world, about drinking to excess. In an inebriated state, when a pretty girl shows up to dance at the party, Herod is overcome by her dancing, and he makes a promise that he would soon regret. Herod is now tricked into doing what he does not want to do, execute John the Baptist. The sly fox has been outfoxed now by his wife. Herod's sin of pride leads to the sin of lust, which leads to the sin of murder. What a slippery slope it is, my friends, when we stray from God and we allow sin to enter our lives. When John's disciples heard of his death, John still had some disciples. Jesus and John were doing ministry and they knew of each other, and I'm sure they prayed for each other. But they were still a little bit separate yet, and not all of the disciples had left John yet and gone to follow Jesus. At least John's disciples, I mean. And so when they heard he had died, then they came and they took his corpse away and laid it in a tomb. They wanted to give their leader an honorable burial instead of having his body simply disposed of by the guards in the prison. And we learn from Matthew's gospel, when they had learned that he had died, they had buried the body, and then they went and told Jesus. John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ are both preachers, were preachers. They spoke the same message. They told the people that they needed to ask forgiveness for sin. They needed to repent and draw closer to God. And Jesus one day said this about John: there is no one greater than John the Baptist. This morning I want to finish in a totally, well, sort of related, but a different direction. You see, Jesus and John the Baptist were not only related, they were friends. And they were partners in ministry. And so what do you do if one of your partners in ministry is no longer living? I want to tell you about a friend of mine, a partner in ministry. He was one of my mentors. I loved him so. Still do. Steve Foster was the senior pastor at the church that I was attending when I accepted God's call to enter the ministry. Steve was so kind, he shared his office. I had a key to his office so that I could go through his library of books until I began to gather my own. We roomed together at annual conference. We cross-country skied together. That was total fun. We always told people that we were off having a pastor's business meeting. Theologically, Steve and I agreed on the same things. And most important of all, Steve and I prayed together a lot. So Steve was a friend, a partner in ministry. He was a personal mentor. And then Steve died quite unexpectedly when he was on vacation in Mexico. And I wondered how I was going to continue on in ministry without his influence in my life anymore. It was in this scripture that we studied today that I found my answer. When Jesus lost his friend and partner in ministry in the death of John the Baptist, it didn't slow him down in doing the will of his Father. He just kept going on. I suspect in his humanness, Jesus grieved for John. After all, Jesus knows all of the human emotions. But it did not keep him from telling the world they needed to change from what they were into what God wanted them to be. And so, if Jesus knew to just continue on, when my friend Steve passed away, I knew. Because it was in the Word. You just keep on. The answer to what happens when your partners in ministry are no longer with us is that we need not worry. We need not worry. Because there's someone who speaks for the kingdom of God that'll come alongside you. That will be another person to join you in the faith, that will continue to speak the truth of the gospel. God will provide others, and God willing, it could well be your own turn to step into somebody else's life when they've lost a partner in ministry and join with them. Praise be to God. Amen.